Welcome to the Navigation Church podcast, featuring practical and encouraging weekly messages from one of our pastors or featured guests. Make sure and subscribe to this podcast so you never miss a single message. Every message is committed to helping you discover and take your next step in a growing relationship with Jesus Christ. And now, here's today's message with Pastor David Amston.
A couple weeks ago, I started a conversation here at the church called Freedom Through Christ. Because ultimately, in our life, freedom in Christ and through Christ is the only way you're going to find true freedom. But we were kind of walking up to Easter, and I don't know what it was, but something nostalgic kind of rose inside of me. And I went to the team one of our staff meetings, and I go, I think I want to do this for the next couple weeks. And those who grew up in church, you're used to maybe a more traditional setting where people aren't screaming and shouting during worship and whistling and clapping and doing fantastic. Like, that may have been weird to you, but one thing you might have been used to is that whenever there was the reading of the word, the pastor would ask you to do something. And it would be no different than if we put up an American flag right now and said, hey, we're going to say the Pledge of Allegiance, or if we're going to play our national anthem. What would you naturally want to do in order to honor that thing? Stand up. And so you may be new to church, new to God, new to faith. This may be old school for you, but could I ask you to do me a favor? Could I ask you to just stand to your feet for just a couple minutes as I do the reading of the word? And by the way, there's nothing magical about this, but I do think there's something powerful about this. And so today, God, we stand for the reading of your word out of John 14, verses 16 through 18, and then Romans 8, 14 through 16. John 14. I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate to help you and be with you forever, the Spirit of truth. The world cannot accept him because it neither sees him nor knows him, but you will know him, for he lives with you and he will be in you. Look at this next line. This is where I want you to see. I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you. Romans 8. For those who are led by the Spirit of God are the children of God. Do I have any children of God in the house today? The Spirit you receive does not make you slaves so that you live in fear again. Rather, the Spirit that you received brought about your adoption to sonship. And by him we cry, Abba, Father. I don't have to call him Lord. I call him Dad. You know why? He adopted me. He's my Father. And the Spirit himself testifies with our spirit that we are children, or we are God's children. God, I thank you for the reading of the word today. Now let us take this text that is on paper and make it alive for our lives. And for those of us suffering from an orphan spirit, let revelation come today. In your name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. You may be seated. I don't know why I said it twice. I'll be honest with you. I was just excited. Like, sit down. Let's get to work, right? So I bet you there's a chance you came here today on Resurrection Sunday expecting me to read some story about a tomb where a stone was rolled away. There's a chance you expected me to read some story about two disciples having a foot race and one disciple making sure to document he beat the other guy. If you don't believe me, go read it for yourself, because if I read it, I would make sure to point out that I won and he didn't. Why? God created me to be competitive and you should be too. But although you'll always come in second if you're facing me, that's what God created me for. And so you might have expected that, but today I actually want to do a little different. We're going to be doing a water baptism in just a little bit, and I want to tie that into the conversation of what Jesus did for us on the cross. But you may not understand or comprehend what Jesus did on the cross if we don't all start out in the same place. So let's see if we can find some common ground to start from. Let me ask you this. Have you ever struggled feeling loved? Have you ever struggled feeling secure? Or having affirmation in your life, acceptance. Have you ever struggled with knowing your personal value? Do you know what your purpose is in life? Like when you wake up in the morning and you go to work at a job you don't want to get a paycheck that you feel undervalued for, to come home and pay a mortgage that you wish you never would have got, to drive in a car that you're still paying on but it's currently breaking down, to get a credit card bill in the mail that you're depressed about seeing, Just to wake up the next morning and do it all again, and you think to yourself, is this all life is? Have you ever struggled with what your purpose is? Have you ever said something like this or thought something like this? I have to look out for myself because I'm not sure anybody else will look out for number one or for me. Now, right now, everybody in their head is brainstorming, and you're trying to see if this is you, and some of you are even feeling bad because you know this is you, and you think you're all by yourself. But I'm going to lead something right here to prove to you that you're not. If you're here today and any of this pertained to you, could you do me a favor? Raise your hand. Fantastic. We're not alone. And by the way, I didn't raise my hand to show you an example. I raised my hand because I'm the first one to tell you there have been times in my life that I felt like I didn't have a purpose. There's definitely been times in my life where I questioned my value. I sought affirmation from all the places that I shouldn't have. But I still did those things, and actually during one of those, and I'll say this is my story, during one of those darkest times of my life, I actually, the church, you blessed me, I had to go into a sabbatical season. And while I was on a sabbatical, if you don't know what that means, I basically got fired without getting fired, but they were willing to take me back if I wasn't too jacked up, okay? So let's call it what it is. And so you're with me now, let's just be honest. And so David did good, so he got to come back. And so, but during this sabbatical season, I was out and I remember talking and I was with a counselor, and I hope you're okay with me having a counselor because I have three of them because I'm that jacked up. Don't amen that hard, babe. And you guys don't support her. What are you doing? Like, this is awkward. I'm about to become vulnerable here. Help me. So my pastor counselor, he was asking me a couple questions, and I started answering, and I said, well, you know, we're at this amount of people, and we saw this amount of baptism, da 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 da. And he said to me, he goes, why do you answer my spiritual questions with natural facts? And I said, well, I'm just proving to you that I'm doing it. He goes, but I asked you how your relationship with Jesus was going. And I said, well, you know, at our church right now, and I started again just kind of saying these facts, and I started telling these things, and he said to me, he goes, do you even want to be a pastor? And of course, my first response was, absolutely, I want to be a pastor. And he goes, why? And I said to him, it's the only thing I know how to do. And he's like, okay, we need to talk about this a little bit more. And then he just kept pressing me, and here's what he eventually said to me. He said, David, the reason you're trying to numb yourself in all these other places is you have an orphan spirit. Amen. He goes, you don't actually believe you belong. And here's the interesting thing. I happen to know just enough about orphans to be dangerous. My sisters have adopted four different children, three legally, one, when you keep them long enough, they just become a part of yours. Do I have any families out there that know what that mean by that? Like you didn't sign the paperwork, but you signed the grocery bill. Congratulations, there's a kid, right? I also have a father who was adopted. I still remember one of the most powerful things my dad said to me one time when he was being open and vulnerable about his life. And he said, if your own mom can't keep you, how can anyone else love you? That's an orphan's heart, right? Because as a baby is alive in the womb for 9 months, that baby feels the rhythm of the mother's body. That baby hears the voice of the mother and the father discussing. And then is birthed, and those voices and those rhythms are never heard from again. It creates a wound inside of us. My one sister's done a ton of work when it comes to adoptions and agencies and stuff like this. And she tells me stories that when a potential parent may be coming to look at a child, This is a happy day. And I wasn't planning. I don't know if you felt the spirit in the room. I think God wants to do some work here today. Yes. So you mind, can we just keep talking about it for a minute?
Yes, please. Yes.
Okay. These orphans, they run to the back. And they brush their hair and they put on their best clothes. Put on their best outfits. And they come and they line up. Like you were going shopping for bread. And hopefully I look fresh enough. Hopefully I look put together enough that you can pick me. Because if I do the right things, then I might have a family. And if I have a family, I will be someone. And in my journey, if I did the right things for Christ, you ready for this? Am I just me? Then I would have a big enough church. And then I could be a real pastor. It's amazing how this orphan spirit works into your life in all these places. And as I look at this, Jesus says the most interesting thing. The reason I started with John, he says, I will not leave you an orphan. Why would Jesus make sure to say this? Because I believe all of us struggle and have an orphan spirit somewhere in our life. If not, when I read the list of affirmation, having love, having value, having purpose, having impact, why is it so many of us resonated within our hearts? Because we have an orphan spirit because of the family that we were originally born into. What do I mean by that? Let's jump back a couple thousand years to a guy named Adam and Eve. How many have ever heard of these people? Right? Let's be very clear. They had no problems in life. If you believe this story, which we do as followers of Christ, God created male and he created female and put them in this garden, this perfect garden. All they had to do was go to work. Yes, there was work before sin. God didn't make us to float around on clouds all of our life. He made us so that we could reveal the goodness of who he is in the world around us. Adam and Eve had no problems whatsoever. You read about this in Genesis 3. If you don't believe me, read it for yourself, but I want to do some summary for today. Adam and Eve are in the garden, and all of a sudden this snake, this serpent, a wise and crafty serpent came to them. And they said, did God really say this? Well, here's kind of what he said and done. But don't you know, and here's what he said, don't you know that if you would eat of this fruit, your eyes would be open and you would be as wise as God? So you have all these people, or no, you don't. You have two people. Not trying to find love, value, and affirmation. Here's how much they were loved and affirmed and told what to do. In the afternoon, in the cool of the day, God came and walked with them and talked with them. But there was something inside of mankind that I believe started an orphan spirit because there was another orphan that came and tempted them. And came and shared with them. And here's what he said this. Ready for this? Let's see if this sounds familiar. I just said this to you. If you would go do Genesis 3, 1 through 5. We have that up. Throw that up for me real quick. Genesis 3, 1 through 5. Adam and Eve, if you would go do something. Go and eat of the fruit. Then if you would go and eat of this fruit, you can actually have something. And what can you have? You can know the difference between good and evil. You'll be as wise as God. You will know all these things that he's hiding from you. And then, by the way, then you will be something. You will be like God. So if I could just do enough, then I could have enough, then I could be someone. You think if you do enough, or if you buy enough, or if you get a certain car, or a certain house, or a certain privilege, you would all of a sudden have everything you need to validate your life to the world around you, then you could be someone. The problem with that moves from an orphan spirit. That moves from a place of lack. That moves from a place of longing, a place of wanting. And Jesus said to us from the very beginning, I'm not going to leave you an orphan. Why did he say that? Because all of us are going to suffer from this. All of us are going to try to achieve something in our life outside of it. And you may say, well, what does Jesus know about me? How could Jesus actually even be able to connect with me? And I have a real simple scripture for you. Matthew 27 through 26. How can Jesus relate to you? About 3 o'clock in the afternoon, Jesus cried out. By the way, this is our Good Friday sermon. This is this holiday that we're in right now. About 3 in the afternoon, Jesus cried out with a loud voice, my God, why have you forsaken me? Do you think this sounds like someone who feels abandoned? Do you feel like this is the sound of someone who is unloved? Do you feel like this is someone who is looking for the Father's affirmation? Jesus knows more about suffering than all of our human experiences combined. Amen. Amen. He knows us. Every temptation that we have, he went through. Every victory that he gained is ones that we have lost. Jesus knows everything about us. So when he says something like, I'm not going to leave you orphans, it's because he knows we're going to struggle with this. What is this? Then we need to do something for him. And if we do something long enough, then we can have his love. And if we have his love, then we can be Christians. And I'm here to tell you, that is not the way that it's supposed to go. Jesus flips the script on that. What do I mean that Jesus flipped the script? At the very beginning of Jesus' ministry, so Jesus is 30 years old. We don't know much about him. We know that he was a baby. We know that he was circumcised. We know that he had a bar mitzvah. And now we know that he's about to start his ministry. So the first thing Jesus does when he starts his ministry is he comes down to this river. And as he comes down to this river, there's a guy named John the Baptist. If you heard of him, say yes. Amen. I basically ask you to do that to make sure you're not falling asleep on me. That's all that is. And so stay with me. Stay with me. We're almost done. So Jesus goes down. He goes to get baptized. John the Baptist goes, there he is. He goes, that's the guy I've been talking about. I'm not going to be worthy to lace up his sandals. I'm baptizing by water. He's going to baptize by fire. And Jesus comes down and goes, hey, I need you to baptize me. John's like, I ain't baptizing you. You're baptizing me. And Jesus went, hang on. I'm not going to do anything. I'm not going to do a thing. I need to be baptized. Amen. So John the Baptist baptizes him. The heavens open up. And God the Father says, son. You're going to be something. Because of who you're connected with, son.
Amen.
And then, by the way, as soon as that was done, this dove floated down. And after the dove floated down, all of a sudden you see Jesus had something. He was supposed to have the Spirit of God inside of him. He didn't have to work for it. He didn't have to go do chores. He didn't have to do a Bible study. He was able to have this. And after he had this, now he was able to go do something because being the Son of God with the Holy Spirit inside of him, now we have the power to actually achieve something for Jesus.
Amen.
Or for God. Let me say it that way. And so when I say that Jesus flipped the script on it, let's look at this. If Genesis tells us to do, have, and be, Jesus in Mark 1, 9 through 13, he said, no, you have to be a follower of me. Yes. And after you're being with me, then you can have the power of the Holy Spirit. And once you have the power of the Holy Spirit, you want to go do something. Yes. And so many times, you might have walked into church and you heard something like this. Well, you need to do a Bible study and you need to do prayer and you need to do tithing and you need to do fasting and you need to do. That's fantastic. If you are a son of God,
amen,
and you have him living inside of you.
Yes.
But if we think, if I show up on Sunday mornings, I'll be good. If we think if I give enough, then I'll be validated. If I serve enough, I have a question. Anybody in here walk in and there was someone at a front door that greeted you?
Amen.
You know why they do that? Because the pastor called and manipulated them?
No.
They do that because the time before someone was welcoming to them and they just want to give back.
Amen.
I have a question. When you walked in the door and you had trouble finding a chair this morning, was there a good looking guy in a black shirt? Was there average guys in a black shirt? I've seen them. I can't lie. I've seen them. You wear beards to cover it. It's ugly. So like, okay. I'm allowed to. I don't know. And so, you know, the ushers, they were here today because they want to provide a place for you to connect with God. I don't remember begging any musician that was up here. Actually, this morning, one of my sons is back in the children's area. And when I told him about a family that I was able to connect with yesterday and said they want to bring their kid, his first question is, do you know how old they are? And he was hoping they would be in his room.
Amen.
Amen. That's good stuff.
Why? Because he wanted to give what someone else has given in the past.
Amen.
If you have had a faith that tells you to do and do and do, I'm going to tell you to stop and stop and stop and just be. Be what? Be a daughter. Be a son of God. And by the way, the more you are their son, his son and his daughter, then guess what? There's going to be something that you get empowered with, and it's God himself. Why? Because when I said in Romans that he's sending someone like him, Jesus was in physical form, but the Holy Spirit is in a spiritual form, so that he's with each and every one of us day in and day out, walking with us. Why is he walking with us? He doesn't want to leave you an orphan. Someone who is without family, someone who is without guidance, someone without identity. He wants to be your rabbi. He wants to be your teacher. He wants to be your mentor. He wants to be your pastor. He wants to be your God. He wants to be dad. Amen. And by the way, the more that you're his son and daughter, and the more you get to know him, you know what the byproduct of that is? You do stuff. You do stuff. When I open the pantry door and the recycling and trash is taken out, my sons just do it. Why? Because they want to bless and be a part. Amen. Right? When we went out yesterday and we blessed an entire city, and I think it was hundreds, I don't remember the number, of volunteers in orange shirts that surrounded that community. The reason we went out there is because we have some good news and we want to tell other people about it. And when Jesus said, go ye therefore, and all the next, go ye therefore. Who studied King James being raised, right? There it is for you, there it is for you. Go ye therefore in all the nations and make disciples. It's because we heard the cry of our Father, who when we were orphans, turned his face upon us and he rescued us from our loss of identity, our loss of purpose, and he gave us a reason. And then every morning when we wake up and we feel his presence, when we get in his word, because we have to do this? No, because I want to know what he said to me. I want to know the instructions that he left for me. Why do I pray? Because I'm about out of gas and I don't know if I can make it 3 more miles. No, I pray same reason I wake up in the morning and say hi to my wife. I want to have intimacy there. And if the only time I come to my wife is when I'm in need or if I want or I need her to do, that's an abusive relationship. Amen. But when I'm willing to sit and listen to her tell me the whole story from front to back in every detail, it's because I love her. Sorry about that. It's because I want to know every detail. Guys, you're chicken out on me. I need a guy in this room to tell me. You got one over here. But it's amazing. I love you right now. Let you be your anointing spread. And but you know what's funny? And I can't believe I'm about to use this phrase. The devil is in the details. Because if I don't care about the details, the devil gets in.
Amen.
And the same way I want to know every aspect. When I'm laying in bed and I'm exhausted and a teenager comes in and they choose, that's the moment they want to talk. Hey. Get some exhausted parents here. I welcome it every single time. Because when I'm busy out doing and my father starts speaking, I've already created a rhythm to stop what I think I should do to be his son, to be his daughter, so that I can have his nearness with me. And one day I'll go do when he calls me to. If you're here today and you don't know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, I want to give you an opportunity to say yes to him. Is it because we need ushers and we need children's workers and we need camera operators? No! I want you to know. So if you're here today and you don't know Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, let me make sure you know what we've been talking about, singing about, and declaring. 2,000 years ago, God stepped out of heaven onto earth. And the reason why is because humanity had a debt we couldn't pay. And God said, I'll take care of this myself. He walked with us. He talked with us. He experienced everything we've experienced as humanity. The difference was when we go to pick up that weight, we drop it. When we try to handle sin, we drop it. He clean and jerked that thing and held it I just used a CrossFit reference. I did. I can't make fun of CrossFit. I can't make fun of country music. And if you love those things, good for you. Find a different church. And so, I'm walking away from that section. I can feel it. I can feel that country vibe coming over here. So, but seriously, Jesus picked up the weight of sin and death, and he held it over his head until they stretched his arms and he couldn't hold it no more. And when it came tumbling down, it didn't crash to the ground. It crashed upon his shoulders. And he took the full weight of it, and he paid the price. For your freedom. For your freedom when you die so you get to go to heaven? Sure. For your freedom now. For you to be a son and daughter now. For you to have purpose now. For you to have life now. The affirmation that you've been desperately seeking, it's here for you to grab a hold of today. So here's what I'm going to do. In about 30 seconds, I'm going to ask you to raise your hand if you want to say yes to Jesus. But in order for you to be as comfortable as you can, for you to have that freedom to make that expression, could I ask everyone, this may be weird to you, could you do me a favor? Could you close your eyes? I don't want you to feel intimidated because someone else is around you. I don't want you to think you need to perform because someone who brought you. I want you to have a moment. Can I say like, I want you to have a moment with me. Amen. So you can make a real decision for yourself. If you're in our online community, same questions going out, but in a second, when I ask to raise hands, I need you to throw a comment in. I need you to hit a like button. I need you to hit the tab that pops up in front of us. It all means the same thing, that you are responding to what Jesus is calling you to do today. If you're here and you don't know Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, and you're ready to take your first step in a relationship with him, with all eyes closed, head bowed. If you're here today and that's you, could you do me a favor? Just raise your hand up and say, I'm ready to become a follower of Jesus Christ. And as I see hands going up, I see hands back there. I see hands over there. Praise God. I see hands going up all over this place. I know they're happening online too. It says that if we believe in our heart, that's why I'm having you raise your hand. And then the next step, the scripture tells us is, hey, confess with your mouth. Could I ask everybody around this room, a believer or not, if this is your first time saying the prayer or if you've said it 20 more times, can you all say this with me? Dear Jesus, today is the day I give my life to you. I turn from my sin and my past. Forgive me of my sins. Become Lord of my life. And from this day forward, I follow you. God, I thank you for every hand that went up. I thank you for every decision that was made. I thank you for every heart that believed. And God, on this day, we are not an orphanage, but we are a house full of children, sons and daughters of God that you walk with and talk with. Come on, can you do me a favor? Let's put our hands together and celebrate with every person that made their decision today. Those in our online community, stick around. The party's not done. Here's what I am going to do. If you are one of the people being baptized today, if you're one of those people that are doing the baptizing, I need you to do me a favor. I have Pastor Aaron going to stand up right over here and start making his way this way. We got our baptism team coming to help you. I need you just to start making your way this way. If you are not being baptized, let me just talk to you for a second. If you're here today, and by the way, baptism team, I need you to hear this. If you're here today and you're going, you know what? I don't know what's about to happen, but if inside of you, you go, today's the day I need to be baptized, I want to invite you to come back this direction, and we will get you water baptized also. If you don't know what this means, don't worry. We're doing it again in a couple months, and there'll be another party here waiting for you, but we believe at Navigation Church, and by the way, if you don't know what I'm talking about right now, you can go online to our YouTube channel, look up Holy Spirit 101. Everyone say that with me. Holy Spirit 101. Why did I do that? Because all of you are looking that way. It's just people walking. It's okay. They know where they're going. Amen. So in Holy Spirit 101, I do a teaching on the baptisms found in the Bible. The first baptism is baptism of salvation, which, by the way, if you raise your hand today, or if you've been here before and that's a prayer that you've done somewhere in your life, I believe that you were baptized into salvation. The second baptism is a baptism by water. Why are we baptizing water? Because 3 days ago, there was a man who went into a dirt grave, but when he came up, he was new again. Now, I don't think we should bury people for 3 days to confirm they're Christians. Nor are we going to hold you underwater for 3 minutes. But what we are going to, let's do it. Note to self, don't put you on the baptism teams. They still got bubbles. Okay, they're saved, right? Okay, so I'm mostly serious. Stay with me. So, well, the reason we do water baptism is this is our way of death, burial, and resurrection. Amen. And we believe the washing of the water washes away those sins, washes away the past, washes away. Now keep in mind, your salvation is in Christ Jesus. And the same way I stood on a stage one day and exchanged rings with my wife, this is my public declaration of a covenant we made. This is a public declaration of a covenant that you made with Jesus. But then we believe that there's a third baptism, and it's the baptism of the Holy Spirit. So today, as people exit the tank, we have a team waiting to pray for them. And again, you can hear all about this in Holy Spirit 101 and the baptisms. The reason why we believe the power of the Holy Spirit is important in your life, because you were not left to be an orphan. And so we take time immediately following a water baptism and we pray for the power of the Holy Spirit to indwell this body. And so that's what we're going to experience today. So here's what we do here at the church. We sit idly by on our hands as people baptize. Wait, you don't? Wait, do you? Okay, sorry. I lied. We throw a party!
Thanks again for joining us this week on the Navigation Church podcast. We hope this message strengthened and encouraged you in the next step of your journey. If you enjoyed this podcast, please leave us a rating and review. And if you want more information about Navigation Church or wish to connect with us in more ways, visit navchurch.org, download the Nav app in your app or Google Play Store, subscribe to our YouTube channel, and even like the Navigation Church page on Facebook. And again, make sure and subscribe to this podcast so you never miss a single message. For now, know Navigation Church is always here to help you discover and take your next step in a growing relationship with Jesus Christ.